Praise the Lord. Last week, I talked about do not be deceived, and we talked about common lies, or lies that are commonly believed. Things that are not true, but that most people have believed. I'm going to briefly talk today about the other part of that, which is common mistakes that people make. Things that you should not do, especially in the Christian world, in your Christian walk, but that a lot of people do, in fact, that most people have done. There is what people believe that's not true. And we say that the more sincere you are in believing a lie, the worse off you are. There's even worse than that, which is actually doing things that you should not do. And I'm going to talk about two or three of these things today. The first thing is that people tend to do what most people are doing. They do what most people are doing. So it's like in the world, when you want to buy a car, you kind of ask yourself, what have most people bought? What's reliable? So it must be that this thing that most people are using, it's what's useful. And in the world, that usually turns out to be the right thing to do. If you're buying a car and you don't know, I don't know what this brand over here is known to be reliable. People have tried it over the years. They've driven it. It takes a long time for it to break down. It lasts long. You might do that. But not with spiritual things. Usually what you'll find as you grow spiritually is that the spiritual laws and the laws of the world are opposite. Now, I'm not saying the physical laws. Usually those are consistent and parallel to spiritual laws. The natural laws of physics, a plant needs light to grow. You need the light of God's Word in order to grow. And things like that are very parallel. But there are these things that the laws that I'm talking about are the laws of society, are worldly rules. Those are usually in complete opposite to spiritual laws. And this is the first thing. It's you ought to probably do what most people consider to be right. What most people are doing. I see people come to college and they see most people heading that way and they follow them. They see most people going that other way and they follow them. I know a lot and a lot of people who have done things that they really didn't want to do, but they did them because they saw all their friends doing it. People around them were doing it. These people here were drinking and they said that to be cool you have to drink and therefore they did it. These other people here started doing drugs. And they told them to be cool. That's what you have to do. It's part of... People told me, Freddie, you have to... It's part of the experience. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many are those. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. This is Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction. And Jesus says what? Many enter through it. But narrow is, small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus is saying that the road to hell is really broad. It's really broad. You can enter to it through sex. You can enter to it through alcohol. You can enter to it through drugs. You can enter to it through running after money. You can enter to it through all sorts of various ways. But the road that leads to life is very narrow. You have to enter it through Jesus Christ and through Jesus alone. The road to hell has a really huge, broad gate. The devil has all sorts of things that he's put out there. You can even enter through that gate through religion. There are people that go to churches just because most of their friends go there. Not because God is there, not because the truth is preached there, not because the messages there speak to their heart and make them holy, but just because most people are going there. And what's being taught, they don't evaluate, is this from God or is this not from God? They simply go there. If everybody is there, if everybody is shouting, if everybody is looking like they're quote-unquote in the Spirit, they say, oh, yeah. That's the Holy Spirit. They don't read the Word. They don't compare what they see with what's in the Bible. They just follow. You ought to be very careful. Don't do anything because that's what most people are doing. Don't do anything because that's what most people say will turn out right. The Bible said that there's a way, that there's a road that leads, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of it is death. Only God knows what's right. And how do you know what's right? You have to look into this Word. I've been saying this over and over for the past few weeks, and I might start sounding boring to some of you, but I will keep saying it. Read this Bible and make it your ground truth. Anything that you cannot see proof from this Word, anything that's contrary to it, stay away from it. Don't believe something because that's what most people believe. A lot of Christians that I've met, if you ask them what their beliefs are, and they tell it to you, I challenge you, do this. Go ask 70% of them, of those that I've talked to, the beliefs that they'll tell you that they believe in, and the things that they consider are more priorities, you will not be able to prove it from God's Word. If you ask them, then how did you come up with this? Did you read the Bible? No, it's just what most of my Christian friends also believe. Or it's what most preachers I hear believe. And listen, a lot of preachers today don't base their preaching on the Bible. They say things that they can't prove. They take one verse here out of context. And if you haven't read your Bible again, you will buy into their taking one thing out of context, and you won't be able to tell if you're being fooled or not. Don't do anything because that's what most people are doing. I was talking to somebody and I told him I believe that Jesus wants us to wait until we're married to have sex with anyone. And with only that person that we're married to. The person told me about Freddie, the statistics are in the 90s. I said, yeah, let their statistic be in the 90s. 90% might be taking the broad road that leads to destruction. And maybe 10% take the narrow gate. I want to be part of that 10%. For sure, if you want to walk with God, if you want to go to heaven, let me tell you, you will have to take that narrow road, and you will be one of a few people. Everywhere I've gone, whether it's been in school, at work, at all the jobs I've had, all the places I've worked in, there's always this pool. Here's what everybody's doing. Come along. Here's what everybody's doing. Come along. When I was in high school, that time of the year came, I was a senior, and there was the senior prom coming up. And I ask people, what's this? What do people do? I don't ask Christians. I usually ask these questions to non-Christians because they're more honest about these things. I ask some non-Christians in my class, what's this thing about? You know, I was just learning these things. And one of them I remember clearly was sitting there and told me that we go around, we dress up nice, we rent limos when we go out to party, we go out, we dance and drink, and after that we all go somewhere and have sex. They were renting hotel rooms. This was the, and he said it very naturally. I found there are two. So, if you really want to know the truth, right, there are three groups of people that are very honest and in order. First, ask children. If something is bad, a child will tell you this is bad. I've talked to some adults and I've asked them the things you, what should you sit down? I was down in North Carolina and I was talking to some woman about the, about her watching BET. She was a grandma. And she told me, well, I only watch the Gospels on it. I thought to myself, I say, you're right. And then her grandchildren were in the van with us. I asked them, do you watch it too? They say, yeah. At what time? At late time. And I told them, okay, the things you watch, are they from God or from the devil? They told me they are from the devil. The grandma has been living in disobedience for so long, she had found sophisticated way. You're right, you wake up from 4 to 6 to watch, I don't know whatever time they started, to watch the Gospels. But the kids that are there say they watch the devil on it. In any case, and the other group of people, I ask some, if you want to talk about these sort of worldly things, ask non-Christians about it. They'll be more honest to you. In any case, then a teacher came and told me, you're not going to the prom? I said, no, I'm not going. She said, well, you're missing out on a huge American experience, and a huge high school experience. I told her, well, that's one of those experiences that I've decided I will not experience. Let other people go and have it. There was a time here, fast forward here at MIT, a movie came out. There were lots of advertisement about it in the newspaper, everywhere. It was the second part to a previous release. They had released the first movie and then the long-awaited follow-up to it came out. And lots of people went there. Christians organized field trips to go watch it. And I've got emails from some of the mailing lists I'm on saying, let's go watch it. And people were standing in line in the student center to get tickets for it and go and watch it. Came out, I think, on a Friday, and on Saturday, two people. And on Sunday, I was on my fret sitting down, and I saw the newspaper there. We got the New York Times and Boston Globe every day. And I'd look, read them, and I saw the big advertisement for that movie, and I asked my non-Christian friends, because I knew they were honest, I asked them, so, was the movie, did you all go see this movie? Oh, yeah, was the movie worth all the buzz about it? one of the guys told me, no, it wasn't as good as the previous one. But he said, I don't think you'd like it. I said, oh, why? He said that because there is a lot of sexual immorality, violence, and the kind of music that you probably will not approve of. Now, I don't know how the music was, so I don't know if he was right or not. But this is someone from the world saying that this thing was worldly, violent, and sexually immoral. Now, why would groups of people, now why would anybody, have you ever thought about that? This is something that only has dawned on me in the last maybe 2 years or three. Have you thought about it? The fact that human beings, people, say, okay, let's entertain ourselves. Let's find something that gives us enjoyment. And what do we choose? We choose to sit on a screen and look at two people beating each other, blood splashing all over the place. We get out and we see these people now married, having sexual relationship, and that gives us our entertainment. Oh, friend, does that not sound weird to you? That someone is getting beaten, afflicted, they're simulating the pain. But that provides entertainment for us. The Romans used to throw Christians in an arena and send a lion after them, and they'll watch, and that was their entertainment. We look at that and say, hey, how evil. We would do the same thing today if we did not have the technology to simulate it. They had it in the arena, we have it on our TV, we can do it without actually killing the people. It's not really that the people were there or enjoying that the person there was dying. They just wanted to see the show of how he was getting tortured by the lion and dying. And that's exactly what our entertainment is today. It just tells you that what most people do is evil if you really sit down to think about it. Now, what's more amazing is when believers do it. I mean, I used to be one of those. I sat down and I watched those things. You go over even worse, you take the video games. People say, let's entertain ourselves. Let's do something to relax. Let's do something to give us some sort of enjoyment. And what do they choose? They sit on these video games, boxing and blood splashing all over the place. I remember when I was still back in Congo, even there, among our friends, one of the most popular game, I think, was called Mortal Kombat or something like that. Bloody thing. I mean, but that's what gave us enjoyment. We were there, I mean, it's been a while, some 9 years since I gave up those things. I heard recently that they've gotten much worse. Last somebody told me, who's into this thing, he told me about this game called Grand Theft Auto, which sold the most one particular year recently. I haven't seen it, I haven't read, I'm just going by what this person is, a big video game. He's, I agree that he's idols with video games. He's honest enough about it, and he told me that it's all violence and sexual immorality. Somehow in the game, I don't know how they do it, you get you sleep with prostitutes, you get STDs, and you bring them back to their pimps and things like that. All in the game. And that's what people then ask him, he's a Christian. Ask him, can Christians play this? Say, yeah. And people have it in their homes? Yeah. And do parents know about it? Yeah. But they don't care. What most people do is not right. And you know why it's that way? It's because most people don't know God. And most people know Him very shallowly. Most people know Him in a very shallow way. If you want to know God, if you want to serve the Lord, you have to decide that you'll be different and you will not do what most people do. Now, the other things that many people do that you should not do. It's to seek the approval of everybody. People think that the nice person is really the one who is in good terms with everyone, and everyone says good things about you. Not so. Go to Luke chapter 6. Verse 25 to 26. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will grow hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for this is how their fathers treated the false prophets. I am always suspicious of a man who wins the approval of everybody. He means that somewhere he lacks enough of God to make certain people uneasy. People think that Jesus was friends with everybody. That's not true. He would not have been crucified if he were. He was friends with those who were willing to repent. But those who wanted to stay in their sins and hide them were very uncomfortable in his presence. And if you want to follow the Lord, people will speak evil of you. People say, don't do these things, you'll offend people. Don't do this, you'll offend people. Now, you should not be going out trying to offend people. But if you are doing the right thing, you will make a lot of people uneasy. And a lot of them will be people who are religious. Just like the Pharisees. It will not be the world out there. It will be the Christians. A lot of them will think and say that they'll call you all sorts of names. They'll say you're proud. They'll say you're a legalist. They'll say you think you're better than all of us. That's what they said about David. When he said he went there to the battlefield and wanted to confront Goliath, his brothers, his oldest brother who had been standing there shaking with the rest of the army, because they knew they did not have the walk with God to confront Goliath with faith. When David came, his brother told him, I knew you, you're very presumptuous. In other words, proud and arrogant. Why did you come? Why did you leave your flock? And David goes, hey, dude, I just asked a question. Whenever people who are not walking with God see somebody who does, and their lives is a rebuke to them, they will speak evil of them. Now, that didn't last all. David's brother kind of came to their senses later and did follow him. And sometimes it takes people a while to come to that point, and some people never will. But there are two things that you will not be able to do. Serve God and at the same time, please everybody. You please many people who are godly and righteous. And many people even who aren't believers. But you make a lot of other people unhappy. What time is it? Okay. I'm going to end soon. The last thing I want to mention which is related to this is that people usually flee from persecution. They do things to avoid persecution. We know that the apostle Paul and Silas, going back after visiting their churches, told the believers, "It is through much suffering that we must make it to heaven. It is through much suffering that we must make it to heaven." But a lot of people today say, let's fit in. Let's fit in the world. Let's just be happy with everybody. Let's love everyone. Now we're supposed to love everyone. But love does not mean that we start doing things that are wrong, or not doing what the Lord wants us to do, because we know that if we do them, somehow the world will persecute us, call us names, kick us out of their place or whatnot. It is through much suffering that we must make it to heaven. Paul says that all who want godliness will suffer, will be persecuted. All of them. I also find it very suspicious if I meet a Christian who's not encountered any opposition to his faith. If it's been years and years and you have not had anything and you live in this world, I say that something is probably not right with your faith. Because the Word of God says, and we know from experience, that walking with Christ will make someone around you unhappy. Whether it be among your friends, among the people you work with, in your family, in your neighborhood, you'll be persecuted. Part of coming to Jesus is making the decision that I will not do what most people do. I will not do what most people do. God meant that His church will be that place, that group of people that enters through the narrow gate. God meant His body, the Christian. The world can do what they want. The world can do what it wants. But the church was supposed to be this place where people do not follow what most people do, but that follows what Jesus did. We do not follow what most people do, we follow what Christ did. He is our supreme model, He is our supreme example. If you are to live your Christian life at its best, it will be like the life that Jesus lived. Now, sadly, what has happened is that instead of us trying to be like Christ, we, the body of Christ in general, and this is not every church, there are exceptions, but I'm talking in general. We've tried to have both Christ's way and the world's way. And I tell you today, there is judgment coming on this nation because the body of Christ has strayed. It's not primarily because of the world. I've been meaning to talk about it. I even meant to talk about this today. But I did not feel free to do so. But I hope soon I will. But I tell you today that a judgment is coming on this nation. Something like we've not seen and that like America has not seen in a very long time. If ever. It's not primarily because of the world. It is partly because of what the world is doing. It's primarily because of what the church has become. And when God has used all other options to change things in the nation, and they've not worked, to bring His church back into what it needs to be, He sends judgment. And it is about to happen, and more than ever, if there was a time that I know that it will happen, I know it now. And it is closer now than it has ever been. And if you've been praying and if you've been seeking God, you also know it. And the people, the secular leaders down in Washington, D.C., also know this very well, although they don't say it. And when those times happen, when those things happen, people will be looking not for someone who was doing things like everybody else. They'll be looking for someone who is different enough. They will turn to those people because they knew that for long their lives were led not by what most people are doing, but what Christ does. When the way of the majority, the way of what most people are doing has failed, and people see that it's not good, they'll seek for something else. And they'll find it in those who chose to be different. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord that He would help us not to go along with the crowd. Let's pray.